بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Surah Yasin, and we have reached verse number 28. قال الله تعالى وما أنزلنا على قومه من بعده من جند من السماء وما كنا منزلين. Which means, and we sent not against his people after him من جند من السماء. Here it's translated as a host from heaven, nor do we send such a thing. This is a reference to the person who is a believer, or who was a believer. The believer who admonished his people to believe in the messengers sent to them, as was explained previously. And after they killed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, and we sent not against his people after him, after this believer, min jundin min as-sama, meaning no angels were sent. Jund meaning the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send after him any angel. And angels are junudullahi azza wa jal. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Muddathir 74, verse 31. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And none know the hosts of your Lord but He. And also in Surah As-Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in 37:173, in Surah As-Saffat 37:173, وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And that our hosts, they very would be the victors. So they are the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send any angels to destroy those people who belied the messengers, because they were baser to consider even sending them a messenger, or rather angels, to destroy them. And this is particular to this nation, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in other circumstances He sent angels. As in the Battle of Badr, and as in the Battle of Hunayn, and as in the Battle of the Ahzab, the Confederates. Allah sent wind, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that these people were so too low, too base, and this is a humiliation to them. This is the correct meaning of this verse. This is the correct meaning. Although some of the scholars had mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send a revelation to them, but this meaning is the correct meaning. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say in the next verse, إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. It was but only one sayha, one shout. And lo, they all were silent, dead, destroyed. So there was no need to send to them any angels to destroy them. One single shout. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us here who was the one who made this sayha, this shout. Although some scholars had mentioned that he was Jibreel alayhi salam. And we cannot affirm this except with a proof. And since there is no specification to the person or to the one who made this sayha, this shout, so what we affirm is that it was one single shout and they were all destroyed. The benefits of this verse. First benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may send the angels to destroy the beliers of His message and of His messengers. And this is concluded from the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this case with these people, Allah negated sending them a messenger or negating sending them angels, and therefore we know that this is possible with others, as it is the case. So this is the point. Allah may send the angels to destroy the beliers of His messengers. Second benefit. The abode of the angels are the heavens. Because in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, from heavens. The abodes of the angels are the heavens. And we sent not against His people after Him a host from heaven. مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. This is in origin. But it may be that they may descend to the earth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree, in Surah Al-Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا, in chapter 97 verse 4, and also like the angels who are protectors of the children of Adam, and those who record their deeds are like those who stand by the doors of the mosques on Friday recording those who come to the Jum'ah prayer and the like. The next benefit, making clear the low level and the base degree and level of those who belie the messengers. And the benefit, the next benefit, making clear the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, because He referred to Himself in the plural by saying وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا, we, وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ, again referring to Himself by we. This does not mean in any way that this refers to many gods, as the Christians say. And in response, this means magnification of himself by referring to himself as we. And this shows that they took by al-mutashabih, that which may not be clear, and blinded themselves from the muhkam, the clear verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to himself, inna ilahakum lawahid, as in Surah As-Saffat 37, inna ilahakum lawahid, and verily your God is one. And as in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 171, innama Allahu ilahun wahid, innama Allahu ilahun wahid, as and for Allah is the only one ilah. Also as in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5 verse 73, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةً, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةً. Surely disbelievers are those who said Allah is the third of three. But the Christians, like others of people of deviation, follow that which is unclear from the Quran, seeking fitna, mischief. And if one follows the opinions of the Christians and others regarding the textual proofs in the Quran and the Sunnah, would be really amazed. But this brings forth a very important matter to the people who are seekers of knowledge, is to strengthen their knowledge in order to refute these shubuhats, these doubts. Because these Christians are almost everywhere amongst Muslim communities. They spread their poisoned opinions amongst Muslims using different means of media, pamphlets, recordings, tapes, etc., calling to adopt Christianity, using very organized media utilizations. If these things fall in the hands of people who are ignorant, although it is very remote that it can change them to Christianity, but however, would bring forth doubts and misconceptions regarding such a creed and its people. And people may feel comfortable towards them in terms of their beliefs. So therefore, Muslims nowadays should guard themselves with the weapon of knowledge, which is established upon textual proofs and intellect as well. Because these people come through what they consider to be intellectual proofs, and therefore it is not sufficient for the seeker of knowledge to only base the refutation on textual proofs. Rather, it must be a textual proof as well as an intellectual one. The textual proofs may be sufficient and should be for the believers whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had addressed in Surah Al-Ahzab in 33-36. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have any option in their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed strayed in a plain error. However, with respect to the belier, the textual proof may be not sufficient, because in fact, basically he does not believe in that, and therefore he needs intellectual proofs to refute his evidences. So back to the point here is that in these verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to himself by we, this is for magnification, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and unique and the only true God worthy of being worshipped. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same one who imputed kufr on those who claimed that he is one of three, as previously cited in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 73. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. The next benefit: in this verse there is proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed these people by one single shout, unrepeated, one single shout, destroying them all. If someone says, what type of shout was that? We say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best as to the kind of this shout. Allah kept it from us. What's important is that it is one shout, and it is possible that they were commanded to be destroyed. What's important again, it is a single shout, and therefore they were all destroyed. And this brings another benefit: the perfect ability of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that anyone who opposes him no matter how great he may be, then his destruction is easy to Allah. Everything in one single word. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Qamar, chapter 54, verse 50. إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٍ كلمح بالبصر. And our commandment is but one, and as the twinkling of an eye, twinkling of the eye. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to something, be, He says to it, kun, be, and it will be. It will come to existence as the twinkling of an eye, indicating the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to destroy creation by one single shout, without doing any action. One shout that cuts the hearts into pieces. إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة. And this shows also the submissiveness of everything to his greatness subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that he does not repeat what he intends. إلا صيحة واحدة. Only one single صيحة. That's why Allah emphasized it by saying wahida, one. Meaning that there was no need to repeat it to destroy them. And such everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands universally, it does not need repetition. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated earlier in Surah Al-Qamar, وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. Our commandment is but one, as the twinkling of an eye. And this should also bring another reminder for us. That when people turn to Allah, then they would fear none from the creation, no matter how great this person or this nation may be. And from this benefit is that this sayha, this shout, destroyed them all. No one remained, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said at the end of verse 29, فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. All of them. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. None remained. No single one. It was but one sayha, and all they all were silent, dead, destroyed. Another benefit is deduced from this verse, that the seizing of the souls by the souls of the children of Adam by the angel of death is far greater than what we could even imagine. Because if someone says, how can he seize all these souls which will come to be silent all at once? The answer, this word of how, in the matters of the unperceived realities of the unseen, has no relevance, because we cannot in any way contemplate these matters in our senses or by our senses. So therefore, every matter of the unseen, don't say how or kaifa. How is it? And that's why when it was mentioned to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala concerning the istiwa of Allah azza wa jal, the rising of Allah above the throne, when he was asked kayfa istawa, how did he, Allah azza wa jal, make the istiwa, he said al kayfu ghayru ma'qul, the how is something incomprehensible. Meaning we cannot comprehend by our intellect, so there is no point in asking about it, and we shouldn't ask about it. But on the other hand, he affirmed that the meaning is true. This verse 36:29, it was but one sayha and they all were silent. This refutes the saying of those who said that the city to which these messengers were sent is Antioch. This is refuted by this verse. So this verse 36:29 refutes the argument that the name of the city is Antioch, because the messengers of Isa alayhi salam who were sent to Antioch were after Musa alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not completely annihilate and destroy any nation after sending the Torah. I will repeat, because the messengers sent by Isa alayhi salam to Antioch were after Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, and Allah the Most High did not completely destroy any nation after the Torah was revealed. This is what is said by many scholars based upon the verse in Surah Al-Qasas 28:43, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ الْأُولَى. And indeed we gave Musa the book after we had destroyed the generations of old. So therefore this verse indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not entirely destroy any generation after the revelation of the Torah. And this verse we are discussing, 36:29, فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ, and they were all silent, destroyed, dead, indicates that they were completely destroyed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, verse number 30, يَا حَصْرَةً عَلَى الْعِبَادِ مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مَنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. يا حسرة على العباد, alas for mankind, there never came a messenger to them but they used to mock at him. الحسرة, يا حسرة على العباد, الحسرة, it means شدة الندم والتألم والحزن, it means intense regret and pain and sorrow and grief on what had passed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this sense in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:166-167, إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوُوا الْعَذَابَ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابُ وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فنتبرأ منهم كما تبرأوا منا كذلك يريهم الله أعمالهم حسرات عليهم. When those who were followed, disowned, declared themselves innocent of those who followed them and they see the torment, then all their relations will be cut off from them, and those who followed will say, if only we had one more chance to return to this worldly life, we should disown, declare ourselves innocent from them as they have disowned, declared themselves innocent from us. Thus Allah will show them their deeds as regrets for them, and they will never get out of the fire. Here in this verse in Surah Yasin, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad, alas, it is said that those who mentioned this statement were the ones who belied, and that they were showing regret. And it is mentioned on the other hand that this regret is from the followers of the messengers, meaning from the believer and the like. And it is also said that this is from Allah Azza wa Jal, but this does not mean that Allah is qualified with this, but it means that He subhanahu wa ta'ala makes clear the regret by these people upon themselves, a regret befalling them. So they will regret their belying, and this meaning is closer to the context. And this also fits, because since regret involves sorrow and pain, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His awe is high above that. And therefore this entails that the meaning is regret befalling them for their belying. Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. Al-ibad, this ibad refers to the general ubudiyya, not the particular one, because the particular one, there is no regret upon its people. The particular ubudiyya to Allah, it is specific to the believers, and we have discussed this many times, that the ubudiyya is of two types, general and particular. So in this case, with respect to this verse, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad, alas for mankind, here the ubudiyya is general, however it is of the general type, the general type directed at particular ones, and this refers to those who belied. Allah Ta'ala, مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. In verse 30, there never came a messenger to them but they used to mock at him. Messenger, الرسول, with most people of knowledge, Ar-Rasul is a human who received revelation and who was commanded to propagate. This is the definition by most of the people of knowledge regarding the term Ar-Rasul, the messenger. Also, Ar-Rasul refers sometimes to an angel messenger. For in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named Jibreel alayhi salam a messenger, as in Surah At-Takwir 81:19-20. إنه لقول رسول كريم ذي قوة عند ذي العرش مكين. Verily this is the word by a most honorable messenger, brought by a most honorable messenger, meaning Jibreel عليه السلام, owner of power and high rank with Allah. The benefits of this verse. This verse indicates the intense regret, sorrow and pain of the beliers to the messengers. And the second benefit, those who belied the messengers will certainly see that their deeds are regrets for them. And the next benefit, affirming the justice of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish anyone except for his sins. In fact, He, the Most High, may even forgive the sins if they are lesser than the shirk. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Fatir 35:24, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive that partners be set with Him in worship, and that He forgives for whomever He wishes that which is lesser than that. And from the benefits of this verse, affirming the messengership, and that the message is general in every community, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also stated in that verse, is Surah An-Nisa, 448, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Fatir, وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. And there never was a nation but a warner had passed among them, establishing proofs and evidences against them in case they belie. And from the benefits of this verse, mocking the messengers is kufr, is disbelief, which entails punishment. Because the context of this verse is about people who belied the messengers and they were destroyed, all of them. Therefore, this indicates that mocking the prophets and messengers is kufr, is disbelief. This is even further proven in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9. Verses 65 and 66. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. If you ask them, they declare, "We were only talking idly and joking." Say, "Was it at Allah and His ayat and His signs and revelation, etc., and His messenger that you were mocking? Make no excuse, you have disbelieved after you had believed." So therefore, mocking the books is kufr, is disbelief. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَآيَاتِهِ, His signs. And also mocking anything of the Sharia, any part of the Sharia, even a single one, is kufr. Because mocking one part, one single part of Sharia, is mocking at it all. As it is the case if one disbelieves in one part of Sharia, or a single element of Sharia, then this means a kufr, disbelief in the entire Sharia. قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High says in Surah Al-Baqarah in 285, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ, then do you believe in a part of the scripture and reject the rest? وقال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Nisa chapter 4 verse 150 and 151, إن الذين يكفرون بالله ورسله ويريدون أن يفرقوا بين الله ورسله ويقولون نؤمن ببعض ونكفر ببعض ويريدون أن يتخذوا بين ذلك سبيلا أولئك هم الكافرون حقا وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا. But it is those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers and wish to make distinction between Allah and His messengers by believing in Allah and disbelieving in His messengers, saying, we believe in some but reject others, and we wish to adopt a way in between, they are in truth disbelievers, and we have prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating torment. So anyone who believes in the message but rejects one single part of it, then he commits kufr in all of it. And anyone who mocks at one Sharia, one part of Sharia rather, of the brought by the messengers, even in a matter which may not be obligatory, even in a matter which could be recommended only, if he mocks at it, then he commits kufr. Because there can be no belief, faith, in some part and rejecting other parts. In fact, anyone who hates what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought down from the revelation and Sharia, then commits kufr. And the evidence is in the saying of Allah in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 47 verse 9, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That is because they hate that which Allah has sent down, so He has made their deeds fruitless. And when the deeds become fruitless, they come fruitless only in case of kufr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah in 217, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ وَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And whosoever of you turns back from his religion and dies as a disbeliever, then his deeds will be lost, fruitless, in this life and the hereafter. So, and they will be the dwellers of the fire, they will abide therein. So this matter is a great matter. It's not an easy one, and therefore the person must accept and be pleased with all that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed. So he is pleased and accepts the obligation of salah and the forbiddance of alcoholic drinks and the obligation of zakah and the forbiddance of riba, of usury, and so on and so forth. Everything we must accept and be pleased with. And if you act accordingly, you are rewarded. And if you abandon, you are punished and deserve that. If the matter you abandoned is a wajib, is an obligation. And in case this wajib, the abandonment of which is kufr, then if you abandon that, then the person commits kufr. For example, the person must believe that ar-riba, usury, is forbidden. If he denies the forbiddance, the prohibition of usury, then he commits kufr. Or if he does not accept its prohibition, then also he commits kufr. On the other hand, if he believes in its prohibition and accepts that, but he commits riba, then in this case he does not commit kufr, and the ruling upon him is like the ruling on the act of disobedience, meaning it is an act of disobedience in this case. And from the benefits of this verse, no messenger was sent except that from his nation there were those who mocked at him and those who believed in him. Yet still, from the messengers there were those who no one believed in them, as in the case of the hadith where the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, وَالنَّبِيُّ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ, that is on the day of resurrection the prophets will come and there will be the prophet and no one with him, meaning no one believed in him. So mocking, on the other hand, occurred to every messenger, to each messenger. Case: what's the ruling upon those who insult Allah Azza wa Jal or His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is the tawbah, repentance from this, acceptable or not? Two opinions. First opinion: it is not acceptable. Rather, he is to be killed, as someone who turned away from religion, and therefore he is not to be washed nor to be shrouded, and no prayers to be offered, no funeral prayer upon him, and should not be buried with Muslims, and his affair in the hereafter is left to Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and he knows, that he repented sincerely, then Allah will not punish him then. Otherwise, he will be punished in the hereafter. This opinion is the known opinion from the madhab of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, from the school of thought of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. The second opinion: the repentance of the one who mocks at Allah Azza wa Jal or at His Messenger is correct. However, the one who mocks the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to be killed. And as to the one who insults Allah or mocks at him, then he is not to be killed. And this is the correct opinion. In fact, if the person insults Allah Azza wa Jal or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or mocks at them, then he commits kufr. If he repents, his repentance is acceptable. However, he is to be killed if he insulted or mocked at the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not with Allah, meaning if he insults Allah or mocks at him. What's the difference in this case, you may ask? What's the difference in this case, you may ask? The difference is, mocking the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and insulting him is a personal right. Is a personal right to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, meaning. However, mocking at Allah Azza wa Jal and insulting him, this is a matter, this is a right of Allah that belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah told us that He accepts the tawbah from all sins. And so, if Allah accepts the tawbah, then this lifts what it entails. In this case, the killing. However, the one who insults the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, we don't know. We don't know whether the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, will drop his right and pardons him. And that's why we have to take the right of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and apply the punishment on him. This is the difference between the two situations. And this is the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala. We stop here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.